Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Let's go ahead and have church. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us, even with the rain and the weather. Good. I just know God is continuing to bless and providing. So praise the Lord. If you can, let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Welcome all of you watching online or at a later date to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Praise God. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Miss Tabitha? Absolutely. Good news, that's right. Put it in God's hands. Anyone else on my right side? Yes, Brother Jim. Absolutely. We'll definitely keep him in our prayers. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer? Yes, Miss Linda. Yes, ma'am. Gary, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Anyone else in the congregation? I don't want to miss anyone that spoke in prayer request tonight. Roddy? Anyone? I know there's a lot of prayer requests going forward. There's a lot of needs and each and every situation. And just looking out through the congregation, there are folks that would rather be here tonight with us. So we just want to lift them up in each and every situation. Also, those situations going on in the world, our country, and our community. Even the storms pass as they go through, that the protection be upon each and every one of them. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we turn all of our attention on you. Lord, to be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to praise and worship you, and dear Lord, ready to receive the word that you have planned for already for us tonight. Lord, you've heard each spoken prayer request, dear Lord. We know that you're greater than kidney stones, dear Lord, for procedures or for those anticipations or results of screenings being read, dear Lord. Those that are going through procedures right now, Lord, we're placing each and every one in your mighty hand. Dear Lord, also I pray for those that need protection tonight. They need assistance, whether it be financially or in family situations, dear Lord, whatever it is. But, dear Lord, we just want to praise you now, dear Lord, because we know that if we give it to you completely, and Lord, just place it in your mighty hands, Lord, we ask you now to bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them, dear Lord, and they go about your work. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. I love the beginning. Some glad morning. Life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, amen. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away when I die. Hallelujah, by and by.
just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away.
Seat if you can. Turn around and give somebody a wave. We got a little space between folks tonight. Give everybody a wave. Let them know how much Jesus loves them and how much we love y'all. Love each and every one of you. Those watching online, we love you. We miss the ones that are regulars and our members or guests. And for all of you watching for the first time, just welcome to First Pentecostal, as I said earlier. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Have one quick announcement. As we prepare for the Easter play this year, the presentation, it's different. I want y'all to know it's something I'm excited about, and I would like for y'all to keep us in your prayer. And also, we're going to make a change on Sunday's practice. We're going to start at 4 o'clock this Sunday before our evening service. So if you're in the play or you had an opportunity, we're going to start at 4 o'clock that evening. We're going to be changing that. We'll be trying to text everybody and let them know. Praise God. Brother Jim, ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen.
I searched and I searched for the road that leads to glory. I wondered if I'd ever find the way. I sat down to rest, for my feet had grown so weary. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking. Walking in the light of the Lord, you'll get to heaven someday. Better get in the right way. Walking in the light of the Lord. I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to give me mercy. I prayed for Him to brighten up the day. I was so afraid, for the road now seems so lonely. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've I've got to keep walking, just keep walking, walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday, better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to give me mercy. I prayed for Him to brighten up the day. I was so afraid, for the road now seems so lonely. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking, walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday, better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord.
One pair of hands for the mountains, one pair of hands for the seas, one pair of hands made the sun, the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands for the valley, the ocean, the river, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you, and those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when life put your faith into one pair of hands. Put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands.
I had something to say before I got up here. It's that nervous thing again. I'll just go ahead and sing the song, I reckon. I'll take Jesus. I know what I was going to do. I was going to ask you a question. Have you taken Jesus? Do you think about the people that was around the cross that day? Did they take Jesus? There wasn't very many people around there, were they? Very few. But whenever he was out doing all these miracles that Brother Jim and just sang about, then they were there. And they were all eager and willing to hear what Jesus had to say up until he died. Then they couldn't find him. Where were they? Did they really have Jesus? Do we really have an experience with Jesus tonight? We need to look at ourselves and see. I sing this song. It says, I'll take Jesus. As they gambled for the robe he wore, they chose the worldly trail, not thinking about eternity as the soldiers drove the nails. What will you learn from what they've done, or make the same mistake? Jesus or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus. I've tried these earthly pleasures and they fail to see the gates of heaven and hear the Master say, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? As the pages of my life have turned and time will roll away, the greatest things that I have done won't matter on that day. And all my earthly treasures that I have laid away, oh, they'll be just a memory, and this you'll hear me say, I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. Oh, I've tried those earthly pleasures and they failed. When you see the gates of heaven and you hear the Master say, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Miss Tapp.
I was going to say before I sing tonight that the oxygen people, you know, they deliver mom's oxygen. I have to call them Mondays and they bring them on Tuesdays. Well, this little guy that brought it, he's been the one from the very beginning, but he's recently just started with this company. We were standing in my garage and it was pouring down rain. And we were talking about all the things in our lives and in the world and all that. And I was able to share with him about Brother Tony's message, Defying the Odds. I've been going to text Brother Tony and say, because that message touched my heart a lot because of the things that we've been going through, that I'm going to defy the odds. And I could tell it touched that young man's heart. And he said, I'm believing when I come back next time that your mama's going to be feeling better and your husband's going to get good news. And I said, that's right. I'm agreeing with you. But it just touched his heart that I shared that with him. And that message has just really, I've thought about it ever since Brother Tony preached it, that I'm going to defy the odds with the Lord's help. I want to sing, Where Could I Go?
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
I wanted to share this too. I was thinking about, I had posted on my Facebook that God cares about the smallest of things to the largest things. And I was sharing with Laz the other day, he went to Arby's to get something to eat before he went to work. And he, of course, he was getting his lunch and his supper. And he said he ordered the food and it was like $15 and something. So he gets up to the window and he reached for his wallet and the lady said, don't worry, son, the lady already paid for it. He did not have his wallet. He had left it at the house. And I told him, I said, son, that was God showing you that he cares about the smallest things, even if it was that you left your wallet. He took care of the bill through that lady. He said, "You're right, Mama." And his day was just made. And mine was too.
Praise the Lord.
Well, he's just a mighty God, ain't he? Great God. Amen. He knows our needs. Amen. And he supplies our needs. Amen. I'm so thankful that we have a God who loves, a God who cares, and a God who can provide, too. He's all of those things, you know. I was thinking about the comfort in the song that Sister Tabitha was singing. You know, that's where I get my comfort, is from God's own word. And I hope and pray that we take full advantage of God's word. I mean, it is so comforting that you can find. And you know what? You don't even have to search for it. If you'll pray at whatever your need is, if you just need comfort, if you just need a door opened, if you just need a confirmation, if you'll just pray and then just ask the Lord, it's amazing how many times you'll open the word and right there is exactly what you need to hear, because it's a living word. Amen. It's not a novel. It's not a dictionary. It's not an encyclopedia. It is the living word of God, and it's there for us and for our benefits. And what was it that somebody had? I think they said they showed a Bible that is just torn and marked up and everything. They said a Bible, something about a Bible that's in bad shape means your life is in good shape, or something similar to that. I'm paraphrasing it now, but I thought of that. I mean, you know, I used to have a baseball glove, and I, you know, many times I said, "Why don't you get you a new baseball glove?" I said, "No, because this one, I'm comfortable with it." Amen. And I'm comfortable with this. Amen. I know it's, the pages are falling out and all, and they're all wrinkled up. I've thank God for duct tape. I've got some tape there, and I've got some pages where they're torn. I taped them back with Scotch tape. Thank God for Scotch tape, too. I don't want to leave the Scotch out. So I thank God for all the tapes, the ducks and the Scotch. And I'm just so thankful for the Word of God. That's not what I'm speaking on tonight, but that's what was on my mind when Sister Tabitha was thinking about the comfort from God's holy word and God's own word. Yes, you can. You want a microphone so you can hear you? Okay. Praise God. Amen. I'm sure she will. Amen. Praise God. And don't you like when God works things out like that? If you remember several services ago, I mentioned something about that God puts people in our lives, you know, and that's a ministry. You know, so many times we think we have to go looking for people to minister to, but they'll just show up if you pray. And God just kind of let me be a light for you, or as Tony puts it, a lighthouse. We're not really the light. Jesus is the light. We just want to be a lighthouse so that others can see Jesus in us. And I'm certain of it. That testimony just solidifies the fact that that was your place to be there, and it was God placing her in your lives. And, you know, that can happen. It can happen anywhere. You can be courteous and be there to help somebody. And, you know, you won't always get that good a return. And that was great. Sometimes you might not even get any acknowledgement at all. For instance, I was headed back to Ashbrook to Mother's, and there was all kind of traffic, especially around that roundabout. And there was a garbage truck that was coming out of Harrell Road trying to make a left turn. And they'd come around, you know, nobody's stopping around that roundabout. So he was just sitting there. So I was coming along. So I turned my blinker and I motioned him out. He threw his hand up. So I let him go. Well, for the next, seemed like 15 minutes, I sat there with cars coming. Nobody returned it, you know. And I said, okay, Lord, I done my part. Let somebody stop and let me in. But they never did. Finally, it cleared up, and I got to make a left turn. So you won't always get that acknowledgement, but that's all right. Amen. Everything that you do is a good deed. I mean, I think that's where the jewels in heaven come from, that God's just kind of keeping track of all of that. It doesn't make us any more holier, but you know what? It does make us more blessed, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. So, Sister Lori, thank you for doing that good deed, and I'm sure you will always be remembered in that young lady's heart. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, in the very last chapter of Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. In the 16th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Corinthians 1, verses number 13 and 14. And the congregation said, oh, that's only two verses. Maybe it'll be a very short message. Be careful. Dynamite comes in small packages sometime. I will try to be sensitive to the time and to the weather as well. But focusing our attention on the 13th and the 14th verse of the 16th chapter, 1 Corinthians, thank you for standing for the reading of God's comforting word. Paul writes, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your precious word. God, I'm so thankful that we can constantly rely on it. God, it's there for us to take full benefit. Thank you for the testimonies, God, of how that you're working in our lives. And Father, we pray that we'll continue to let your light shine in our lives in everything that we do, not just in church, but in our everyday walk. Father, I pray tonight that you would reach out to those who are in need of prayer tonight. Many are sick, many are afflicted, God. Many are down and out. And Father, we know, God, that you are a comfort. We know that you're ready and present help in all of trouble. And I pray, God, that you would reach and send forth healing tonight to those who stand in need of prayer. Ask you now, Lord, to just talk and speak through this vessel tonight. God, just use these lips of clay. God, that you might get honor and glory, and we'll give you praise and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to speak a titled message, On the Front Line. On the Front Line. Those of you that are in the military or have any people that have been in the military, or maybe you haven't, but you're familiar with what that phrase is, the front line is basically the military line that is formed by the most tactical combat units that are there, because that's where most of the main fighting is done. That's the first line of defense from when the enemy is approaching. We find that Paul uses this opportunity in the very last chapter of the book of Corinthians to begin to urge the Christian church, the newly formed church, that they're going to be in a battle and they need to be prepared. Now, a lot of the Corinthians is about instruction. It's about hope. It's about faith. It's about love. He incorporates a lot in the book of Corinthians. If you've not had an opportunity to study the book of Corinthians, I would suggest it would be an excellent book, both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, to follow, to study, to run reference on it. You don't have to run through it and try to get it all done in 1 week or something. Just take a little time and study the book of Corinthians, both of them. It's very good because it's very timely, and it's also very beneficial for the church today. I know that he was writing to the church at present time, but so much of that instruction and direction, it can be incorporated in the church today. But he uses the analogy, and he uses the analogy of a military or an army. And if you follow Paul's writings, he did that quite often. You know, he talked about the armor, you know, be dressed with the full armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He also talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. and the shield of faith. How many knows that we constantly need that shield of faith? That is the defensive weapon. Amen. You might think not a weapon, but a shield could be a very good, strong weapon. But the Word of God is the offensive shield, or the offensive weapon that we can have. So we're not only on defense, but we're also on offense with the power of God. Now, he used these analogies, but he wasn't talking about going and fighting the Roman Empire. He wasn't going and talking about fighting the army of the Chaldeans. He was talking about that spiritual warfare that we have constantly with the prince of darkness and the adversary that is in the world today. How many knows that we are, or we do have an adversary? If you have not learned it by now, as long as you're a Christian, you're going to find out sooner or later you're going to have an adversary. And that adversary is Satan and all of the wiles of the devil and everything that he can do to upset you, to disorient you, to discourage you. He's going to do it. And I say so many times, we give him so many of the ammunition that he needs, because sometimes we openly confess what we can't stand. We openly confess what bugs me. We openly confess, this is what I absolutely do not like. Satan's over there taking notes, knowing that he can come against you with all of these things. So we're just kind of giving him ammunition. And I know we're a human and we do that a lot. But this is what the Apostle Paul was referring to. After all of the instruction, after all of the direction, and after all of the wonderful scriptures of faith and love that he incorporated into the book of 1 Corinthians, he tells them here that there's some things he wants them to do, encourages them to do, almost as a commander would tell his force or his army to do in preparation for the battle. Now, if you've only had one battle with the devil in all of your life, you're very fortunate, because the adversary that I know is constantly, he doesn't know defeat. He keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Even how he came to Jesus on three different times and was totally and absolutely defeated by the Word of God. That's what Jesus used, the Word of God, against him. And finally, he left him, but the Bible said he left him for a season, meaning that he was going to return again. One of these days, that battle's going to be over. One of these days, we won't have that adversary anymore, and how we long for that day. But until that day, we must be prepared for the enemy that comes against us. And he doesn't come against us in fairness. He doesn't know the rights and the wrongs of spiritual warfare. He comes in the most cowardly ways, in the sneaky ways, and the deceitful ways that he can. And that's the reason we need the discernment of the Holy Ghost, the discernment of the Word of God, to be prepared when he comes. I said all of that to say this. The Apostle Paul, some of his last instruction to the Corinthians church was this: watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. That don't mean give up, by the way. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. A lot of people see that quit and they say, oh, well, no, that's not what he's talking about. And be strong. Now, can I go mention to these this just one at a time? First of all, he says to watch. In another place, Jesus said to watch and pray, didn't he? Watching means that we need to be on the lookout. And we call it sometimes, I don't know if any of you have ever taken a defensive driving course. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. It talks about anticipating. Because so many times as you're driving, if you're not anticipating, things will catch you by surprise. Just kind of a word of caution. If you live in an area where there's a lot of forest and a lot of pasture land, know that there are deer out there. And if you drive accordingly with an anticipation that deer might jump out in front of you, be careful, because sometimes they'll jump out in front of you even when you're watching with the Sister Elaine. They live over there where those deer just have a death wish. And they just constantly jumping out in front of cars. But you're driving defensively. Also, as you see other cars and how that they react and how they do, it's amazing to me today how many people trust those brakes when they come flying up to a stop sign and I'm already backing off the accelerator because I don't trust their brakes as good as they trust their brakes. But, you know, you're anticipating. So if we put that in a spiritual sense, if we are already anticipating that we have an adversary, that we have an enemy, that we know he's going to sneak around, we know that he's going to try to do things to upset us, discourage us, throw us off our spiritual track, then we need to be prepared for that. And there are ways that we can prepare ourselves for the onslaught of the devil. So watch, and basically it means to be continually on your guard. Now, how do we define continually? Somebody said, all the time. Continually on guard, always watching, always careful, always looking with anticipation. But you know what? We all can always say too, that is within us is greater and stronger than he that comes against us. And you know what? The devil's so dumb, we have to remind him of that over and over and over. How many's ever had somebody to tell you? How many times are we going to have to tell you? How many times are we going to have to tell Satan? Every time he comes against us. Every time. Because whether he forgets it or not, he's that way. He's so persistent. He's like a gnat from South Georgia. They're bigger than they are in North Georgia, and they're so aggravating. And they just buzz, 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 buzz. And Satan will come there and do the same thing, and you have to repeat and tell him, you know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Try that with mosquitoes, and maybe you won't get bit either. But the devil will learn to flee from the Word of God and from the name of Jesus. So we need to watch, be continually on our guard in all things. Don't let your guard down when things are going well. You know, if you're like most Christians, and we have similarities. When things are going rough, man, we're on guard. I know we are because we say, what else is going to happen? We're already anticipating something else happened because it's been awful this week. I just know something else is going to happen. We're on guard. We're making sure that the devil's not going to sneak up us. But take that same Christian sometimes when, man, everything's been going really good. You know, sometimes we have to pinch ourselves to say, wow, it's been a good 2 weeks or it's been a good month. Sometimes we're letting our spiritual guard down. And guess who's sneaking around looking, trying to deceive and trying to come and steal and kill and destroy who he can? Yeah, that same old adversary, the one that we have to keep on rebuking over and over and over. So watch continually in all things. The second thing he said to do was stand fast in the faith. In the faith. Not in our faith, not in our ability to do anything, but in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many believes with me tonight that God is able to do all things? Amen. 100% of us believe that. Do we believe that when we're facing one of those all things? That's when it becomes necessary not only to believe it, but to declare it. Call it done. That's what faith is. Faith is believing and going ahead and claiming it without seeing any evidence of it happening whatsoever. Because if you saw the evidence, you really wouldn't need the faith, would you? But declare it done in the name of Jesus. Declare that pain gone in the name of Jesus. Declare that door open in the name of Jesus. Declare that situation to turn around in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And stand fast in that faith. Now, when Paul was using this terminology again, evidently, he was very familiar with the military and the military rank and file in that particular era, because if we look at that and run reference on it, that biblically meant to keep rank. Now, we have some military people in the audience tonight. When you keep rank, do you just kind of stumble around and go where you want to? You stand at attention, I think, don't you? And you keep rank and you stand there until you're given orders to be at ease or dismissed or whatever. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. Stand fast. Keep rank. Even when the battle gets hard, even when the devil is approaching, even when the enemy is so persistent, even when he's buzzing around like an old aggravating gnat coming against you, stand firm in the faith and keep rank and know that God is going to make a way for you, because greater is he that is within you than he that's coming against you. Do not be disorderly or retreat. Do not retreat. See, God doesn't know about retreating. He doesn't want us to retreat. Amen. You know, we may not be gaining ground, but think about it this way. We're certainly not going to lose ground. Amen. What God has given us, what we have gained through standing in faith, I'm not giving up, amen, what the Lord has already done for me. In fact, I'm looking for him to even open greater doors. I'm looking for him, amen, not only to cause me to stand fast, but to even be able to move forward in faith, believing that all things are possible. Keep unity and let nothing divide you. We're in the Lord's army. Those brothers and sisters that are around you, they're on the same team. Sometimes the church needs to be reminded of that. You know, so many times our battle is not with each other. Our battle is with the adversary. And we need to stand strong. I mean, shoulder to shoulder, you know. How many ever played Red Rover, Red Rover? And My only one that ever played Red Rover. Come on over, you know. And what'd you do? You locked arms. And they tried to break those that chain, you know, that you had that. Boy, if we could do that spiritually. I mean, every time Satan tried to attack my brother, we're standing there locking arms in faith. Every time he come against my sister, we're standing there in spiritual faith in one mind and one accord and say, devil, you're not breaking this chain. Amen. We're going to stand firm. We're going to hold the ground. We're going to stand fast. So that's what the Apostle Paul was telling them. This is your ground. This is your victory. This is your healing. This is your opportunity. This is your door that God has opened for you. Don't give it up. Don't give up. So stand fast. Let nothing divide you. Then it says, quit you like men. That doesn't mean that men quit, even though we're told to so many times. It doesn't mean that we give up. It doesn't mean. What it actually means is do not flinch. Do not flinch. Wow. Even when the fiery darts are coming, do not flinch. What was the battle cry? Was this the Revolutionary War? Don't fire your muskets till you see the whites of their eyes. So many times we as Christians have already flinched before we use that weapon that God has given us. I mean, we know that we're going to be victorious. But sometimes when he comes, we're already flinching. And I know that we are. I say that we are because we're already anticipating the worst. Rather than anticipating victory. We need to go into this spiritual warfare knowing that we're going to win. Amen. Because how many knows who our captain is? How many knows who our leader is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's never lost a battle and he never will lose a battle. So quit you like men means do not flinch in the fight. Maintain your ground at all costs. And I thought it really interesting that Paul would be this determined as he was talking to everyday Christians, like he was talking to a military army, until I began to think Paul knew. He knew the detriment of retreating. He knew the spiritual things that could happen if they give up and ran. You know, as long as you was holding your line, that enemy had to be held at bay. But you know what? If you've always seen these movies, if that line ever broke, then mass hysteria took over. And then they all began to run, and there was no order, and then the enemy just kept coming and gaining ground. We can't do that. And I thought about Paul's preaching that strong in that day. If he was here today, he would think, sure enough, there's a spiritual warfare. Because I believe, and I know they had it hard in those days, and I knew the devil was coming against them. But I've been in the way a long time. Somebody said, well, you need to get out of the way. No, I don't getting out of that way. I'm going to stay in the way of the Lord. But I've been in church for a long, long time. But I can honestly say I have never seen the devil as strong as he is coming today. Or maybe that's not the right terminology. As determined as he is today. He's not giving up. He's coming. I think he knows his time is short. And he's kind of bringing out all the artillery that he possibly can. Trying to attack the church. Trying to attack you. Trying to attack me, trying to attack ministry, everything that he's doing. And I thought to myself, if the Apostle Paul was here preaching today, I wonder what kind of stirring message he would have for the church today. Very similar to what he just told the church here. Stand fast. Watch. Quit you like men. Be strong. Do not give up the ground that you have already gained. Resist and be ready to press forward. Amen. Be ready to gain ground. Then he says to be strong. Well, basically what that meant was to be fit, spiritually fit. You don't just throw an army into the battle without first training them, equipping them, training them to how to stand and what to do and how to act in battle and things like that. And you also go through, I've never been in service, but do they actually do any physical training when you're... Don't they kind of make you crawl around sometimes under barbed wire and sometimes over shooting over live ammunition over your head and different things like that? Why is that? To make you suffer? No, it's to make you be prepared for the real thing when it happens out there. So that's what it means. Be strong. It's keep yourself spiritually fit. Learn how to conquer. Boy, that'll preach. Learn how to conquer. Because the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him. Now, we're not going to conquer a whole lot without him. In fact, probably won't conquer anything at all. But with him, all things are possible, and we are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. The church needs to learn how to conquer. Amen. They need to conquer and learn how to conquer when the devil comes against us, when he's throwing all of this thing around us, when everybody else is trying to pull their hair out. The church ought to say, you know what? We're going to stand, and we're going to stand firm in the faith that the Lord is going to protect us. He's going to make a way. We are going to be victorious because we have victory in Jesus. Amen. So we need to be strong. Keep yourself spiritual fit. And then it's amazing the next scripture that he puts under there. And I had to look at that. All of this tactical stuff that he's just said, all of this military jargon that he's just spouted out. And then in verse number 14, let all your things be done with charity. Let all you're doing be done with love. And I'm thinking about, wait a minute. You know, when you think you're going into battle, then you got love on your mind? And I thought maybe that doesn't fit, but it does fit. It does fit because this is part of the preparation, because it ties in to being strong. How do we be strong? It's not to the strongest physical person, it's to the strongest spiritual person. That's where our strength comes from. It's not in my talent, not in my ability, not in what I know, not in my knowledge, but my strength comes from he that is within me, the Spirit of God, because he said, I will give you power. Amen. How many is thankful for that power that the Lord has given us? And with that power comes something that comes with it automatically. The characteristic of power that the Lord has also comes with love, because he told us to love one another as I have loved you. And if we love Christ with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, just like David said, I want to, you know, everything that is within me, I want to love and serve the Lord. Then we know what he's talking about as being prepared. Because there's 9 ingredients that I found that compromise, that make up divine love. Now, when we're talking about divine love, we're talking about godly love. How many of you have ever heard the word agape? That type of love. It's not the puppy love or the love that things like that. It's talking about agape or godly love. In other words, love as Christ loved us. How many would agree with me that Christ's love was immaculate? I mean, you know, we get upset when somebody wrongs us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, he could have called angels down from heaven to destroy every one of them, but he didn't do it. Why? Because he loved humanity so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God loved me so much that he did not want me to perish. But he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary that I might be saved. What immaculate love that is to know that the Father did that. So these 9 things incorporate or make up the characteristics of divine love. I mean, you know, that's that extra special love. That's that godly love or agape love. First of all, is something that's probably uncomfortable to most of us, but that's patience. And I wondered why that he listed that first. But patience is very much a strong characteristic of divine love. Second is more in line with what we think about kindness. Just showing kindness. You'll never know the benefit that somebody else received just by Sister Lori showing kindness. She didn't really have to go out of her way. She just kind of just was there and comforted her. And you see what a reward that she got. And that's kindness. And it doesn't hurt anything to be kind to everybody. You know, not just to the ones that's kind to you. That's really not. We haven't really done anything exceptional if we've been kind to somebody who's been kind to us. But be kind to that person sometimes that not expecting anything at all in return. So that's a wonderful characteristic of love. Generosity. I mean, we just said it a little while ago. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And we've seen that. We've experienced that. When you're able to give to somebody, and we always think about money. Well, it's more than money. I mean, money's certainly a part of it. But you can give of your time. You can give of something just as simple as a card. You know, it doesn't have to be a special occasion. If you really, really want to surprise somebody, send them a card when there's no occasion whatsoever. And just thought of you, just hoping you're having a great day. We love you, something like that. You'll be surprised how far that goes. Just generosity, just doing something. Or it doesn't have to be that. You could do anything. There's a number of things that you can do to show your generosity. And that's part of the thing that shows our love. It's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to tell somebody, to convince somebody that I love you. But when you go out of your way to do something special for somebody, that's really exemplifying the love that you have. So it said patience and kindness, generosity, then humility. When you're generous to somebody, don't go around telling everybody, guess what I did? I helped her out. I helped him out. Look what I did. And that's not humility. Amen. In fact, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Humility is doing it, not that you'll get puffed up about it or a pat on the back, but all honor and glory should go to the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that Christians ought to be the humblest folks in the world. Amen. Humility. Not weak. Don't misconstrue or that weakness and humility is the same thing. It is not. Christ was strong, but he was humble. Amen. He had power, amen, to wipe everybody out, but his humility showed forth because he died on the cross for them. So humility and weakness is not one and the same. Courtesy, kind of goes with generosity, but just to be courteous, you know. Let that garbage truck out. It don't matter if you got to wait for 15 cars to go. You know what? I had to really check myself. Because there was the devil just getting right up in my face saying, hey, look what you done. Be courteous. Be unselfish. Unselfishness. Man, you know, being unselfish is so strong. It's a long word, but it goes a long, long way. And, you know, we need to learn that at an early age. Our children need to learn that. You know, share was a word that I really had to get used to when I was growing up. You know, I wasn't too fond of the word share. I thought what was mine, and Dennis couldn't play with it, you know. And he thought the same thing. So that was most of our conflict, was my stuff and his stuff getting mixed up, and he got my stuff and I got his, and Mother had to teach us constantly to share. And, you know, I say that because that was a natural thing, but you know, we share because we say this so often, and we need to be careful when we say this. If we say one hurts, we all hurt, really? One's happy, we're all happy, really? We really need to exemplify that. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, amen? We should be the strongest bond that there is. You know, and the devil would love to just saw us asunder, you know, and just scatter us, but we're not going to give up that ground that we've already gained. So be unselfish. Good temper. I think mine's the best in the world. Not hot temper, but good temper. Amen. You know, my granddaddy, he used to say, you know what? Said, everybody's got a temper. Said, if you ain't got a temper, said, you ain't worth a whole lot. He said, the strongest knife are the ones that are tempered. They've been through the fire. If you've been through the fire, you've been tempered. But you need to learn to control that temper. What does the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. Amen. So, but we need to have a good temper. Righteousness, I think that pretty much goes without saying. The holiness, the righteousness, the goodness is certainly from the Spirit of God and it's from Jesus. And it's not really our own self because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't know how to be righteous without the Spirit of God that is within us. But all of that incorporates and makes up the divine love. And the last thing is sincerity. Amen. Be sincere with one another. Be sincere when you tell somebody you love them. Be sincere when you tell somebody, you know, I'm there for you. I'm there for you. Really mean that. And be sincere in your walk with Christ. Amen. Because God knows artificial. I mean, he can detect it. And we just need to be solid, to be firm, watch, stand fast, be strong, be prepared. Amen. Because how many knows that, I hope this is not a surprise to you, that we are in a battle and that we're in a battle. And I thought to myself, as I said a while ago, what would the Apostle Paul think today if he saw the attacks that are on the church today? the attacks that are on Christianity today. You know, and I know there's conflict all over the world. There's military conflict. There's wars. And the Bible even speaks of that, wars and rumors of wars and seeing all of these things come to pass. But how many would agree with me? There is a war. There's a spiritual darkness. There's a dark side. There's a minority trying to govern the majority. And they're trying to say things that have been guidelines and morals and statutes and precepts for years and years and years. They're trying to just cast those aside and create a whole new thing. I get cold chills every time I hear one of them talking about the New World Order. Be careful. Be careful when they start talking about the New World Order. Amen. I'm so glad that my eternal home is not in this world. This world's getting in a mess. The world that I'm going to, amen, is going to be perfect. It's going to be immaculate. It's going to be majestic because Jesus Christ has gone away and prepared it for me. Don't you love Jesus tonight? God bless you. We love you. Amen. Each and every one of you. If you would stand, we'd be prepared to dismiss. But before we do, give you an opportunity. If you have a need tonight, please come forward and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We believe that God is able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to make a way, even when there seemeth not a way. Anyone tonight? I know we've already raised our hand for special request, and probably if given the time and opportunity, every one of us could probably name off 5 or 6 names right quick that we know that needs in prayer. And isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God that knows already who those people are? And as we pray tonight, let's pray for them that God would just bless them, heal them, touch them, whatever the case may be, because the God that I serve is big enough to meet every request that is given tonight or even thought of. So as we raise our hands to let God know, Lord, I'm just releasing them into your hands and standing by faith that God's going to touch and heal. Brother Jim, if you would come tonight and dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you all. We love you greatly.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful message. So I was listening to the 9 different characteristics. You know, if you really look in deep, I was writing them down for myself just to kind of go back and just to look at them. But, you know, God's love is so great and so wonderful. And this season, as we get ready for Easter, you know, I call it the story that was told, and everything that's so true is that's that perfect love for each and every one of us that Jesus went to the cross for. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. All righty. And I know, as we said, as Brother Eddie just said, there are those that I look out and I see some spots that I know are normally here on a Wednesday night that we know there's prayer requests going forward. So let's continue to pray as we always do. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to gather in your house. Dear Lord, we just want to lift you up with everything that we have. Dear Lord, we want to be those vessels that your light can shine through. Dear Lord, may we stand strong in faith in you. And, dear Lord, knowing that you are the answer to all situations. And, dear Lord, we just praise you now, dear Lord. And as we prepare to depart, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. We're also praying for the young people in their class tonight and for the teens. Lord, again, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. 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 Have a wonderful evening. Praise the Lord.